Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 113, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How blessed the man who thoughtfully the poor and weak befriends, deliverance in the evil day to him Jehovah sends. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 113. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter. Proverbs chapter 31. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Proverbs chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outshorn, who hopefully is able to go the procedure in this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the help and blessing of the Lord. Almighty, great, eternal, and long-suffering God, who dwellest above in that place that no man can approach unto, thou who dwellest between the cherubims, before whom the hosts about thee do bow day by day to cast their crowns and to do glorify thee, to magnify and exalt thy name, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Thou knowest what we are. We are so wretched. Lord, thou knowest that we are of the earth, earthy, and we cleave to the dust. And we have carnal hearts. We have vain thoughts. We call our lands after our own names. Think to dwell here forever. Have our treasure upon the earth. Are seeking all that is here below by nature. Lord, if it is different by moments in our life, then it is only by the work of thy Holy Spirit who is able to make it different. Wilt thou look then upon us and upon our dear children in the days in which we are living with them, and when the ends of this world are come upon us, and when all things are hastening to their end. And Lord, thou dost spare us through to begin this year together. And thou dost give us also to begin the first Sabbath day of this new year. Lord, thou dost still extend unto us not only the mercies and the blessings of this life, but thou givest to us in a special way above the great multitude that is in this world, that we may hear thy word read, preached, that it may be brought unto us, all that thou may look on us, that these blessings may never testify against us and our dear children, but that we may be converted, that we may turn from our evil and vain ways, to seek and to find the true and the living God, that blessed communion in which we have been created may be restored in and through thy dear and only begotten and well-beloved Son, all that he may become precious and necessary and suitable also to us in a personal way, that we may not remain as the heathen in our hearts, even as we may receive the blessings that have to do with our never-dying souls. Lord, thou dost also give the continuation of the offices in thy church. Thou knowest that what must take place also in this morning hour, when two office bearers must be reinstalled in their offices. Lord, wilt thou remember them, because they must give an answer once again, as they have done often before, to solemn and weighty questions that of ourselves are impossible to fulfill. Oh, that thou may give them then a place at thy footstool continually, that thou may supply for them what is necessary to serve this flock, this congregation, in uprightness, in faithfulness, and all that they may receive in a special way also a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Lord, that those that must go before the congregation and a way of leadership may not be destitute of thy spirit and of thy blessing, of thy instruction. Oh, then we all need that same blessing, that we may be enabled to lead uprightly, that we may be enabled to instruct in the congregation. Oh, then we need to be taught from above. Oh, Lord, that thou may remember them then in this day, and all of the elders, the deacons, in the weighty office that is laid upon them. And wilt thou give us the ability to labor together, shoulder to shoulder, with the love of the souls of this people in our hearts, that we may give our life for this work, that it may be to us a joy and a pleasure, and that it may be for the profit of this people, that it may not be a labor that is done in vain, but that from time to time we may be gladdened with the fruits which may be evident in the midst of this people. And when we may go from house to house to see if there are any that are as the wheat coming up out of the ground, whether there is any life, whether there is any fruit upon the labors, then all may it be that from time to time that we may be gladdened with thy deeds, that there may be those who, in whom it may be evident that there is a new birth, that there is a new cry, that there is a new hunger, that there is a new thirst in the midst of the congregation. Not a thirst for all that is of this world anymore, but a thirst and a hunger and a crying out for the true and the living God, that we may not be able to go on anymore. Oh, that there may be those that may have questions, not only questions which may be for outward things, but oh, may it be that riddles may dwell within the heart, that they are not able to answer, and that they may seek to receive an answer from above. Lord, remember the whole congregation. May our labors also be used for the increase of the knowledge of that true and saving faith, for the increase in self-knowledge, that there may come more and more an abhorring of self, and that all the false foundations may be lost, that men may have nothing whereon to stand, and that they may have a need for that solid rock. Oh, that thy dear Son, who shall never be moved, that he may become the only foundation, and that there may be those who may be brought to that further knowledge also, that they may receive that blessed assurance of faith, that they may be given to know the blessed adoption of children, that they are sons and daughters of thee, and that they may be brought again into the Father heart of God. Lord, that by experience their mouth may go open in the midst of us as a congregation, and that it may be evident, Lord, that thou dost bless the labors of our hands, and that we are not receiving all these labors only, that we may be cut off in the end and cast away, and that it shall forever testify against us. Wilt thou look upon the youth and the children of the congregation? Lord, they are those who will one day be the fathers and the mothers of the congregation. Oh, that thou may then instruct us as parents in faithfulness and in truth and in doctrine, that we may also be given that faithfulness to instruct them, and that in the days of their youth, that they may fear the Lord. Remember then our own school, that will open again in the day of tomorrow, and thou wilt give it. Strengthen the teachers, the principals, and all those that labor with them. Wilt thou keep them in the school, in the home, and also by the way, keep from all accident and danger in the times when the roads can be slippery. And Lord, that thou may give obedience on the part of the children to bus drivers, to their teachers, that they may also receive instruction for this life, what is necessary to bring us through, and that one thing needful may be taught and may be received by thee. Wilt thou then look upon the young people also that may go to universities and colleges? May thou instruct them thyself, O Lord, may thou keep them also, because the devil goes about as an angel of light to deceive and to destroy. Then give them a solid foundation, or give them that they may be able to discern between that which is right and which is wrong, and that they may be given to see what is coming from the prince of darkness, that humanistic teaching that centers upon man, And that they may go continually every day upon their knees, that they may search thy scriptures, and that they may be given to stand up against all that comes against thy truth. Lord, give them courage, give them wisdom, give thy grace within that can only keep them. Wilt thou look upon those also that go into the fields of labor in this world? Lord, when many temptations are about them, may thou also keep them on every side from falling into the ways of sin and cause them to desire to walk in thy statutes and thy commandments. To remember all the afflicted and the sick ones, especially in this time when there are many among young and old, those that are not able to be with us this day, wilt thou remember them also in their own homes or places. Give strength, give health again, also the young child that must receive the procedure. Lord, give him strength and health also, that in this week it may be able to go through, and may thou give thy blessing upon it. Oh, instruct him and all of our children together. Remember widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that miss their loved ones, those that go over this life alone, those that are not married or that have no children. Wilt thou uphold them also, and wilt thou be a husband to the widows and a father to the fatherless? Wilt thou remember us in this morning when we are called to bring thy word and install office bearers in the midst of the church? Lord, then who is sufficient for these things? Oh, may thy word be in our heart, and may we be given clarity of mind and of speech. May we be given simplicity, but may we be given especially thy spirit to bring it in all of our hearts together, that we might understand within, and that we may receive an undeserved blessing. Forgive thou all that is sinful and keep us from sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 223 all stanzas. Where'er his creatures gather, the unseen God is near. Let rulers fear their ruler, their judge let judges fear. How long, ye earthly judges, will ye pervert the right? How long shall wicked persons have favor in your sight? We announced that the extra collection at the last song today is for the school. And that also the following young people hope to make public profession of faith on Sunday, January 21st, in the afternoon service. Marie Arnoldusen, Leonard Brunn, Beverly Den Hollander, Arjan Janssen. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory before January 17th. Psalter 223, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. The scriptures, congregation, do not say exactly who that this Lemuel is. However, it is thought by most commentators that this is King Solomon. And this King Solomon receives instruction from his mother. How important is the instruction of a mother? Young people, young men, when you are busy perhaps looking for a wife, looking for one to go with you through this world, then you do a most important thing. Because that mother, she is the one that will instruct your children. What are we doing, parents, when we are bringing up our own children? Whom are we bringing up? We are bringing up those who are to be the future members, the Lord willing, of the congregation. We are also, perhaps bringing up those who will be the future office bearers within the congregation. Thus, child rearing, that is not something that is just some side job, no. But that is a most important career, mothers, in itself. A place, a task that has been given you by the Lord Himself. And a most important one as you shape the character of the children of the congregation. It is a great blessing when a child may receive good instruction. Solomon writes, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is, of course, not true in every particular instance, but in general it is so. And now, if indeed this word is spoken King Solomon, then Solomon has also been instructed by his mother not to give his strength, we read, unto women. But we know that he has taken 700 wives and 300 concubines. Well, he had for this also the example of his father, which was in this respect not a good one. And then we see how that the example of us as parents that has much more influence upon our children than our words have upon our children. As a young man, Solomon is already called to be ruler over this great people, the people of Israel. And then his mother gives him advice, that very high station, that very high place that he is in, does not prevent her from giving advice to her son and to warn her son. Do we also, parents, warn our children? And young people, when that warning is coming to us, that is not only for when we are so very young, no, but that warning that is coming to us also when we become older. And now this Solomon, he is a great and exalted king. And even this Solomon gives such a respect He gives such a high place to his mother. We read on his right hand. Thus, we are never too old to sin, and we are never too old to receive warning and instruction. And yet this mother, she is a wise woman. She is not telling Solomon how to run his kingdom. No, that is not her place. But she is warning her son about sin. She cautions him in the first place not to drink wine. Why is that? Is that so bad to drink wine? No, that is a lawful thing. When it may be done in moderation, how is that also in our life? Parents, young people, with drinking alcohol, with drinking liquor. No, that is a lawful thing, but his mother, she says to him not to drink it. And why not? Well, she says, because it does not belong to a king. Because a king must always have his presence of mind. Because a king must always do a right judgment. Thus, then there are things which may be lawful, and yet things which do not belong to us as fathers or mothers. Still things which maybe do not belong to us as office bearers within the church. Thus, she cautions him. She warns him. She says, you must walk worthy of that office that the Lord has placed you in this world. She cautions him, we read also, against uncleanness with women. That is, Solomon has received a very high place. And it is a place that very easily may be abused because of his power. Then she cautions him also not to overlook the poor and the needy in his kingdom. And that is the subject of our text for this morning hour, which you can find in this chapter, Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth. Judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So far the words of our text. The defense of those who are appointed to destruction. First, the work of earthly kings. And second, the work of the heavenly king. The defense of those who are appointed to destruction, first, the work of earthly kings, and second, the work of heavenly kings. Open thy mouth. There are congregation, many people in this world who we do not need to tell to open their mouth, because their mouth that is always open, that is always going. That is one thing if there is wisdom coming out of that mouth, but oftentimes it is nothing but foolishness. Solomon says, a fool, he uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterward. On the other hand, there are some wise men that need to be encouraged to speak, to open thy mouth, especially when those men are in a position or in a place of authority. Think about Mordecai, that he has said to Esther, "Open thy mouth," that you are in a position where you may no longer keep silent, that you now have to speak unto the king. We read of Eli that he did open his mouth. He opened his mouth unto his own children, but he did not follow through in his actions what his mouth declared, and he was responsible, he was accountable for this. Open thy mouth, parents. Open thy mouth unto thy children when they are in your home in a special way. That is the time in their youth when they are placed under our care, that we are opening our mouth to instruct them, to warn them, to keep them from the ways of vanity, to keep them from the ways of sin. Open thy mouth. Also, office bearers, elders, in a special way. And then we cannot always remain silent. No, then there are times that we are expected in this world to speak, to open our mouth. That is the duty of our office. And when is that? That in a special way we are called to open our mouth. That is when there is sin in the midst of the congregation, then we may not be silent. And then we are called to speak. Then we are called to warn, because when we do not, then we make ourselves guilty as those who are watchmen on the walls of Zion. Open thy mouth. Is it partly our own fault when things do not go the same as they did years ago? We think of those who may tell how it was many years ago, when an elder, when the minister may walk in the street, and when there were those in the congregation that feared to approach, that they have crossed the road, that they did not want to be met. And why not? Because that elder, because that deacon, because that minister, they were faithful in their labors. They were faithful to open their mouth and to warn against the ways of sin. But we read actually in our text something else, another time in which it is so necessary to open thy mouth. We read, for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. What did that mother of the king mean when she speaks about the cause of such as are appointed to destruction? Actually, she is talking about when they are coming into judgment, because we know that in the time of Solomon, then the king was not actually only the king, but he was also the judge. He had to do judgment, and that the very most difficult places, cases were brought to the king. You know that story, boys and girls, of the two harlots. They have brought a dead child, and what a difficult case was brought before Solomon, before the judge. Well, how much corruption did not take place with the judges of the land, and also still does not take place in our own society? What kind of corruption? Well, it is corruption when the innocent are condemned. And why are often innocent condemned? That is because of bribery. It is because of respect of persons, a certain partiality that is shown within that judgment. And because of this, then that one party, they are already appointed to destruction. That is, that before that trial is ever taking place, that actually that case is already solved. That is mostly the poor. And why? Because the poor don't have the means to defend themselves. They don't have the means to help themselves. Because the poor are not able to pay for someone to speak for them, and because they are not able to give a bribe. And thus, they are without defense, and very often then they are trampled upon, taken advantage of. And then this mother of King Solomon, she says, "My son, have thou nothing in thy judgments to do with such dealings?" No, she says, on the contrary, you must open thy mouth in defense of such people. As the king, you must stand by their side. As the king and as the judge, you have to be their representative. You have to be their advocate. Open thy mouth for such as have been unjustly charged with crimes. As a Naboth, open thy mouth for him. Open thy mouth for such as have actions brought against them that would take away their right unjustly. Open thy mouth for Mephibosheth, when that evil Ziba is attempting to take away all his goods by his evil ways. Open thy mouth for the poor who have no power against the rich and powerful ones in this world. Open thy mouth for those who are not able to speak for themselves because they are too ignorant to speak for themselves because of their infirmity. Open thy mouth for those who are in such fear of their adversary, who cannot speak because they stand in awe of the judge in that judgment seat. Open thy mouth for the widow. What does that mean? The word mean actually in the original, that means to be dumb. That means to be defenseless and not able to defend yourself. No, that is not so easy always to open your mouth. Boys and girls, maybe that is not so easy in school either. To open thy mouth for the cause of all those that are appointed to destruction, for those who are abused, for those who are poor, for those who are needy. No, that is not so easy. And why not? Well, because then maybe you will lose your friends. Because maybe then you will be mocked yourself. No, then it is not so easy to stand up for those who have no defenses. Yet, boys and girls, we hope you may be given courage to stand up for such ones when you may see all these things taking place, even among the children within your own classroom. That is, congregation, not only children, but it is often happening also amongst adults. And that is not easy. You know, how many times did Jonathan not open his mouth for David, who was appointed already to destruction and so unjustly? Then he did it. He did it though he had to lose the favor of his own father. And he did it though he would have to lose the kingdom itself, that he himself would never sit on that throne of Israel. Bathsheba, She says, and there should be no case of distress that is unworthy of your notice and attention, and that there should be none to lose their right in the judgment because they are not able to defend themselves. Open thy mouth for the dumb. Congregation in our land, then our government in a very right way also does the same thing. When we have one come into judgment and they are too poor to have a lawyer, then there will be a lawyer provided for them, one to open his mouth for the dumb. We ought also to open our mouth, congregation, for the dumb, that is, for those who are absent. When there are within our company those who will cast infamy upon the name of our neighbor who is not present and who is not able to speak for himself and who is not able to defend himself, then to open our mouth for the dumb and to put the accusers to shame. We ought also to open our mouth for those who are timid, for those who do not have words at their command to defend themselves, and who are often shamelessly abused teachers in our midst. You have a responsibility. You have a position of authority. It is that same position that a mother and a father have within their home, that is amongst our own children, to defend the poor, to defend the needy. And then we have within our own classroom the responsibility to defend those children, young people, who are being oppressed. The Lord says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Was that not the prosperity of that godly King Josiah? And was that not even the ruin of his own wicked son Jehoiakim? The Lord says, shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar, because thou hast a beautiful house? Is that the reason that thou shalt reign over my people? Did not thy father eat and drink and do justice and judgment, and then it was well with him? He judged the cause of the poor and needy, and then it was well with him. Is not this, the Lord says, to know me? Congregation, we don't need to be a king for this. No, because when we think about Abigail, then there was also a people who were appointed to destruction. And as she has opened her mouth for the cause of the dumb, when they were appointed to destruction. Oh, we read of Job. He was eyes to the blind. He was feet to the lame. He was a father, we read, to the poor, and that he searched the cause of the stranger. Ebed-Melech, he has opened his mouth for him that was appointed to destruction. Jeremiah, who was cast into the prison, he has gone unto the king, despite all what the princes would say. And he has opened his mouth. And for this, the Lord says, I will give thy life for a prey. Then you shall not go into that land of the enemy. Esther opened her mouth for the cause of those who were appointed to destruction. No, we don't have to be a king for this. But it is the duty of each and every one. But it is in a special way the duty of those who are in authority. And thus, it is in a special way the work of the Lord Himself. That is our second thought. Christ Himself was unjustly appointed to destruction. The verdict congregation was ready before the judgment, before the trial. That is why false witnesses were sought against the Lord Jesus. And then there were none that did open their mouth. For the cause of the dumb, that was not the enemy. It was not the Pharisees and the scribes. It was not the heathen, the disciples themselves. Peter did not open his mouth for his cause when he was appointed to destruction. The very judge did not open his mouth for the dumb. No, the Lord Jesus Himself did not open His mouth. And though it was many, many times, and that a judge, that Pilate has stated the innocence of the Lord Jesus, he did not judge a righteous judgment. Why not? Because of the fear of man. Because he feared the scribes and the Pharisees, because he feared man, because he feared Caesar. The fear of man. But what was Christ's own conduct when he was upon the face of this world? A righteous judgment without respect of persons, opening his mouth for the cause of the dumb, pronouncing woe against the respected in that day, the respected Pharisees and scribes within the church, because of the injustice that they have brought upon the people. He defended the poor and needy, the publicans and the sinners that came unto him. He opened his mouth for that woman that was taken in adultery and that was appointed to destruction by her accusers. He opened his mouth for the lepers, for the blind, for the sick, and all the helpless ones. All that was the work. That was the work for which the Lord Jesus was anointed by His Father. David already had prophesied of this work of the Lord Jesus such a long time ago. He said, He shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. That was one of the ways that the Son of God could be recognized, by which he may be known by the children of Israel when he came into this world. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall deliver the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in His sight. Oh, here is that work. Here is that work of that heavenly King that was sent into this world to do what? To open His mouth for the cause of the dumb, in the cause of all those who have been appointed unto destruction. Congregation, that has not changed. He has come to this world, and He has departed from this world in his human body. But he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this remains the work of that heavenly King. This remains the work of him who came to open his mouth for the dumb and the cause of all those who are appointed to destruction. Are there those then who are in our day appointed to destruction? He opens his mouth for the dumb. He opens his mouth for those who cannot speak, for those who dare not speak for themselves. He opens his mouth for those who do not have one word to say of a thousand questions which come from your judge. He opens his mouth. Oh, are there those who are appointed to destruction by that righteous judgment of God that are not able to come before him, that are not able anymore to speak to him, whose sin testifies against you, and that closing your mouth so that you have no power against all the accusations that are coming against you in your conscience, in your heart, that you have to agree with them, you have to say that they are so right and that the Lord, he is so just. Oh, for those that need no trial because it is so evident that you are worthy to be cut off and to be cast away from the Lord. In that place, that hope that shall never, never come. Oh, it is for those that he opens his mouth. Oh, he is that heavenly advocate to speak on behalf of those who are guilty, to speak on behalf of those who have sinned everything away. Oh, then he is opening his mouth unto his Father to say, Father, though they deserve to be cast away, I will that they should be with me where I am, to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Opens his mouth to the devil. O thou deaf and dumb spirit, I command thee to come out of him and to enter no more into him. Opens his mouth to the enemy. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. When they are coming against, if ye seek me, then let these go their way. Do not touch them. Opens his mouth for the comfort of his people. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. O congregation, are there those that need one to open his mouth for you? Oh, are there those who cannot speak for themselves? Are there those who may be led a little bit into the depth of the depravity of your own heart? Are there those of you who dare not to speak and to say, Lord, my life in this new year that is going to be different because I have lived 1 week in it already, and then there is nothing but guilt, there is nothing but sin, there is nothing but pollution, and that you dare not to open your mouth anymore? Or are there those that need the Lord to open His mouth for you? Oh, that continues, people of the Lord, to be the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, as that surety that is standing before His Father, open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Oh, may there be a people whose mouth also goes open. No, not to defend yourself, no. But whose mouth also may go open in praise for Him who opens His mouth. Oh, to tell something of the wonders of the Lord in your life, to His own glory and to your own salvation. What is that wonder? What is that wonder? It is the wonder of those who are appointed to destruction, but for whom there was one who opened his mouth and who said, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. O congregation, is this our desire? Is this our need? May the Lord work it, even by the offices which are within the congregation. May the Lord work it by the power of His Spirit, that your mouth may go open one day also, not in all the vanity of this world, but that our mouth may go open by moments in this life to the glory of that blessed Mediator. Amen. We'd like to sing now from Psalter number 200, stanzas 2 and 3. When the needy seek Him, He will mercy show. Yea, the weak and helpless shall His pity know. He shall surely save them from oppression's might, for their lives are precious in His holy sight. 2 and 3 of Psalter number 200.
Thank you.
We will now read the form for ordination of elders and deacons, which can be found on page 70 or 145 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present, who are chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective offices. Whereas no one hath appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present, in the name of the Lord, proceed to their ordination. But first, you who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present, shall attend to a short declaration from the Word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the Apostle saith, "The elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." Hence, it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church, the former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors, who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office. Namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul, Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, "He that ruleth, let him do it with diligence." Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church, 1 Corinthians 12. Thus, we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them, as in the Old Testament, the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle. Those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remained distinct of one from the other. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or of a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, "Tell the church," which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, diligently to look whether every one properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned. Also to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church, as doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places of Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 12, that these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoineth that all things shall be done decently and in order among Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word, yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read, Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves, which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office, we may read Acts 6, where we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen, by the advice of the apostles, who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This has been continued from that time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors, that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity, to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires, Romans 12, 2 Corinthians 9, for which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. I'd like now to ask those that are to be installed to arise. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, Mr. Martin Niels and Mr. Henry Van Sluis, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elder and deacon, whether you do not feel in your heart that you are lawfully called of God's church consequently of God himself to these your respective offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. Thirdly, whether ye promise agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability to discharge your respective offices, as they are here described, ye elders in the government of the church together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacons in the ministration of the poor. Do ye also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church? What is your answer, Mr. Martin Niels and Mr. Henry Van Sluis? The Almighty God and Father replenish you with his grace, that ye may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. Brothers, the offices in the church are offices which have been instituted by God himself, and in a lawful way of the use of the means, then the Lord himself has also brought you in particular to these offices. Each of these offices has its own respective work attached to it. But also now this word that we read from the mother of King Solomon is applicable to both of these offices. And then in the first place, as a deacon, then you are called to be a defender of the poor and the needy in a temporal way. The poor and needy in this world are often appointed to destruction. We read in the Word of God that the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Because very often when we are poor, then we are not able to come out from under this. The poor, therefore, and they are often discouraged. They do not know what to do anymore. There is for themselves no way out. Thus, a people in this world that are appointed to destruction. It is a people in that case which often also are dumb. That is, they are not forward to open their mouth because of their situation, because of their embarrassment perhaps. And therefore the Lord has given an office within his church. And that office that is an office that you are given in a particular way to open your mouth for the defense of these poor and needy ones. This opening of your mouth that needs to be done, we know, in a very careful way. The opening of your mouth is something that is a command and a task which is given you not of men, but it is a task which is given you from above. We would say, do not wait until those poor must come begging to you, because the Bible says also, to beg I am ashamed. But go in the first place unto those poor and be considerate of their circumstances and of their poverty and their need, as we have read together. But also, and then we have heard also in the end what the office of that deacon is, that you may be given to open your mouth in another way. Because we have heard together how that the Lord is a defender
of the poor and of the needy, and that you may be given to open your mouth also with comfortable words from his scriptures, as you may faithfully, with the Lord's help, discharge your office. As an elder, then that word of the mother of King Solomon is also very much applicable unto you. The office of elder is an office of a king, we have heard. However, we know that the kingdom that we are dealing with is not a natural kingdom, but it is a spiritual kingdom. Thus, the Lord speaks about those who are spiritually poor. And in his word, he says, blessed are those people. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Thus, these are actually the true people of the Lord. Those that are the poor in spirit. And then you in your office, then you are set by the Lord even as the deacons over the natural poor to defend them. Then you are set as an elder for the defense of those who are appointed to destruction in the church in a spiritual way. Thus, when we are doing all of our labors, then we have all ways to keep in mind. For example, when you from time to time must choose a sermon to be read, then always remember those who are appointed to destruction, that it may be a word that is speaking for their defense and for their comfort. When a minister is to be invited to speak for the congregation, then we must ask ourselves, is that then a man that is set for the defense of the poor and the needy? When we are making decisions as a consistory, and then we must ask whether that true church in our midst, for whom the offices are set by the Lord, whether this true church is actually being served by the decisions which we are making in our office. You are set as an elder, especially we've heard, to keep error out of the church. How can we know what error is in the church? Well, the Bible, that is a book which is speaking for the comfort of those who are appointed to destruction. It is for the comfort of the poor and of the needy ones, the spiritually poor. Thus, when any doctrine that is taking away, robbing those poor of their comfort, we think about, let's say, the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. When man today would take away something of that divinity, well, that is to rob the poor of their comfort, the helpless ones, those that have no strength, those that cannot be saved, because then there is no strength from his side. There is no divinity. There is no power. It is not God himself. When they would rob the Son of God of his manhood, well, then it is those poor ones, those that do not dare to approach unto that holy and that righteous God, and who need that he also be in their flesh, that they may be able to approach unto him, then it is those poor and needy from whom that comfort is being robbed. Thus, to keep error out of the church of God, we read to keep the wolves in that form out of the church of God. Well, who are those wolves? How can we recognize who that those wolves are? Well, those wolves, in their deceit, in their sheep's clothing, they are judging unjustly. They are taking away the right of the poor that are in the gate. They rob him of their right. Therefore, may the Lord give what he has given your office for, Think of the Lord Jesus when he came into this world and he began his work of ministry and he stood up for to read. Then he says that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me for this office. And what was that for? He says, to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance of to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And now he is no more here with us. But he has given, while the earth lasts, this office, blessed office, difficult, responsible office. But it is an office he has given to take his place while he is above. And that is for the defense of those poor. And we hope that the Lord may give you strength to continue on with your labors as you may labor in the midst of this congregation as both elder and as deacon. Congregation, receive these men as officers within the church of God. They are not the angels of the Lord. They are men born into this world with sin. That is, many shortcomings, many mistakes, often not knowing how to do their work. Pray for them. Pray for us as a consistory. And ask the Lord to guide them in everything that they have to do. Why? For your own welfare, for the welfare of our own children and congregation. May there be in the midst of us those poor in spirit, for whom the offices were instituted, that you may also be served by these offices. May the Lord give his indispensable blessing to us as a small flock. We would like to ask the congregation to arise and to sing Psalter 447, the third verse. Let peace be found within thy walls, and in thy palaces repose. Jehovah bless and prosper those who dwell within thy favored walls. For friends and brethren, I will say, let peace abide in thee for aid. May naught disturb thee now or ever, by reason of his temple fair, and for the mercy proffered there, will I invoke thy good forever. Psalter 447, stanza 3, standing.
Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church which is committed to you, and the ministers of the word. Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed, provide for the true widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. And ye all with one accord, be ye all with one accord faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, you will purchase to yourselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourselves willingly to their inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and contribute willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourselves respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that hath stolen or who hath been burdensome to his neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective calling, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. But since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee in that it hath pleased Thee for the better edification of Thy church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants, by whom Thy church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast at present granted us in this place men who are of good testimony, and we hope endowed with Thy Spirit. We beseech Thee, replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that every one may in his respective office acquit himself as is becoming. The elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of Thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with Thy holy word. Give grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may persevere in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially Thy divine grace to this people, over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortations of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone, acquitting himself of his duty, in Thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 19, stanzas 1 through 5. Why dost thou stand afar, O Lord, in our distress? And why dost thou conceal thyself when troublous times oppress? 1 through 5 of Psalter number 19. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 113, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How blessed the man who thoughtfully the poor and weak befriends, deliverance in the evil day to him Jehovah sends. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 113.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter, Proverbs chapter 31. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Proverbs chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy in that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, Judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outshorn, who hopefully is able to go the procedure in this coming week. Let us try to pray and ask for the help and blessing of the Lord. Almighty, great, eternal, and long-suffering God, who dwellest above in that place that no man can approach unto, thou who dwellest between the cherubims, before whom the hosts about thee do bow day by day, to cast their crowns and to do glorify thee, to magnify and exalt thy name, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Thou knowest what we are. We are so wretched. Lord, thou knowest that we are of the earth, earthy, and we cleave to the dust. And we have carnal hearts. We have vain thoughts. We call our lands after our own names. thing to dwell here forever, have our treasure upon the earth, are seeking all that is here below by nature. Lord, if it is different by moments in our life, then it is only by the work of Thy Holy Spirit who is able to make it different. Wilt Thou look then upon us and upon our dear children in the days in which we are living with them, and when the ends of this world are come upon us, and when all things are hastening to their end. And Lord, Thou dost spare us through to begin this year together, and Thou dost give us also to begin the first Sabbath day of this new year. Lord, Thou dost still extend unto us not only the mercies and the blessings of this life, but Thou givest to us in a special way above the great multitude that is in this world, that we may hear Thy word read, preached, that it may be brought unto us, all that Thou may look on us, that these blessings may never testify against us and our dear children, but that we may be converted, that we may turn from our evil and vain ways to seek and to find the true and the living God, that blessed communion in which we have been created may be restored in and through Thy dear and only begotten and well-beloved Son, all that He may become precious and necessary and suitable also to us in a personal way, that we may not remain as the heathen in our hearts, even as we may receive the blessings that have to do with our never-dying souls. Lord, Thou dost also give the continuation of the offices in Thy church. Thou knowest of what must take place also in this morning hour, when office bearers must be reinstalled in their offices. Lord, wilt Thou remember them, because they must give an answer once again, as they have done often before, to solemn and weighty questions that of ourselves are impossible to fulfill. Oh, that Thou may give them then a place at Thy footstool continually, that Thou may supply for them what is necessary to serve this flock, this congregation, in uprightness, in faithfulness, and all that they may receive in a special way also a blessing out of Thy heavenly store. Lord, that those that must go before the congregation in a way of leadership may not be destitute of Thy Spirit and of Thy blessing, of Thy instruction. All, then we all need that same blessing, that we may be enabled to lead uprightly, that we may be enabled to instruct in the congregation. Oh, then we need to be taught from above. Oh, Lord, that Thou may remember them then in this day, and all of the elders, the deacons, in the weighty office that is laid upon them. And wilt Thou give us the ability to labor together, shoulder to shoulder, with the love of the souls of this people in our hearts, that we may give our life for this work,
that it may be to us a joy and a pleasure, and that it may be for the profit of this people, that it may not be a labor that is done in vain, but that from time to time we may be gladdened with the fruits which may be evident in the midst of this people. And when we may go from house to house to see if there are any that are as the wheat coming up out of the ground, whether there is any life, whether there is any fruit upon the labors, then all may it be that from time to time that we may be gladdened with thy deeds. That there may be those who, in whom it may be evident that there is a new birth, that there is a new cry, that there is a new hunger, that there is a new thirst in the midst of the congregation, not a thirst for all that is of this world anymore, but a thirst and a hunger and a crying out for the true and the living God. That we may not be able to go on anymore. Oh, that there may be those that may have questions, not only questions which may be for outward things, but oh, may it be that riddles may dwell within the heart, that they are not able to answer, and that they may seek to receive an answer from above. Lord, remember the whole congregation. May our labors also be used for the increase of the knowledge of that true and saving faith, for the increase in self-knowledge, that there may come more and more an abhorring of self, and that all the false foundations may be lost.